Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Can you hear me? Are we on the air? All righty. Thank you so much. Sorry about that, sports fans. Another technical glitch with live radio. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm having Keith Rogers back today. He's got so much to say about what's going on in the Middle East. I'm simply delighted. Let me begin with a confession of defeat by the head of the Ukrainian Armed Forces. All of our calculations were wrong. I changed soldiers and commanders, but Russia wins.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jim. I have a different whole internet backup, different internet system. There's Jim. Let me get our guest Keith in here, Jim. We're live now. Okay, I'm going to start. Okay, I just started recording for this session. All right, I'll bring Keith in. God.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio. This sixth day of November, we've had several problems connecting. I have a wonderful return guest here, Keith Rogers, who has so much to say about what's happening in Ukraine and the Middle East in general. Let me begin with a confession by the head of the Ukrainian Armed Forces. All of our calculations were wrong. I changed soldiers and commanders, but Russia wins. This is pretty damn interesting that you should have the head of the Armed Forces acknowledging what we as students of the event have recognized to be true, but what the West has been utterly unwilling to acknowledge, to wit that Ukraine has lost the war. This is a clear admission of defeat by the head of the Ukrainian Armed Forces, who already, with his promotion by the Western media, seeks to take the lead in the fierce confrontation with President Zelensky for leadership of Ukraine in a post-war field, and with Ukraine defeated and completely disintegrated. According to him, the conflict in Ukraine is reminiscent of the First World War. just like in the First World War, we have reached the level of technology that leads us to a stalemate. The Ukrainian general concluded it would take a huge technological leap to break the deadline. There probably won't be any pretty solution, he admits. That was my mistake. Russia has lost at least 150,000 dead. I'm not sure where that number was derived, but the massive the casualties for Ukraine by that measure, since Ukraine has lost about 10 for every Russian, would mean Ukraine had lost 1,500,000. In any other country, such losses would have stopped the war, he said, but not in Russia, where life is cheap, and Putin's reference point to the First and Second World Wars, in which Russia lost tens of millions of people. I don't believe that for a second. Life is cheap in Ukraine. It's not cheap in Russia. Putin has been very conservative in the way he's been seeking, going out of his way to protect civilians in Ukraine. Meanwhile, Russia Today reports NATO nations cleared by U.S. to send F-16 to Ukraine. However, get this, Ukrainian officials admit they won't receive the planes until 2024. Well, what the hell good are they going to do if they won't have them when the war has already been lost? Keith, I have you here. I'd love your thoughts about Ukraine. We have the peculiarity now, by the way, that Zelensky is inviting Trump to visit Ukraine, which is an absurd idea. He's saying, but he can't win the war. It's just a damn odd thing. Do they want him there so they can take him out? I mean, this is ridiculous. Let me read a part from the Epic Times. Zelensky invites Trump to Ukraine, says Trump can't bring peace. President Zelensky on November 5th invited former President Trump to Ukraine, pushing back on the former president's claim he could bring peace in 24 hours if reelected. I think that's a Biden admin idea. Tell Zelensky to invite him and claim he can't since it's such a powerful appeal. In March, Trump accused President Biden of incompetently handling the Russo-Ukrainian war, which he said he could solve in 24 hours. If it's not solved, I'll have it solved in 24 hours with Zelensky and with Putin, he told Sean Hannity back in March. Oh, he was light on details about how he'd bring this about, saying he didn't want to give away strategy. Trump said resolving a conflict would be a very easy negotiation. Keith, it's so nice to have you back. What's your thought about this stunt? And it's nothing but a political stunt by Zelensky to invite Trump to Ukraine. Your thoughts?
Well, good morning, Jim. First, I'd have to ask if that psycho district attorney has any limitations on Trump leaving the country, if that would violate something that they're trying to entrap him on that, like he's fleeing the country, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the first thing that pops into my mind. Zelensky, it's not just in the Epic Times, but New York Times, Washington Post, all this stuff. They all say that Zelensky's lost the war. Even that, I forget the other guy's name, it's kind of Zelensky or something like that, where he himself is saying that, you know, it's over. And yet we see that there's these, and I would have to say they're probably CIA type related, but they're doing these deep explosions into Russia and stuff. They're trying to cause as much damage as they can. And of course the, what's that, Zaporozhye, they're still trying to attack and cause this nuclear incident over there, which would bring the attention back from Israel, back to Ukraine, to have another type of Chernobyl event going off over there. But it just goes to show you how berserk these guys are. They're on their last throes. Russia has won, and they don't want to give up, and they want to keep this going. Just like they just mentioned here with Gaza, that the Israelis in charge said that this is going to last into the fall of 2024, which of course means that Americans are going to be paying for everything, both Ukraine and this, as our entire economy collapses.
Yeah. But I mean, do you see this as I do? This is just a stunt to try to take away a platform of Trump that the public would find very appealing to end the war. In fact, it turns out Biden and Zelensky have turned down ceasefire proposals or actually negotiations to resolve the conflict in the past. So, I mean, even proposals have been shot down by the Biden admin. I view this as purely political propaganda. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah. It's already said here that in the upcoming negotiations, which they're openly talking about now, even the United States has been behind this, where they're talking about how the Ukrainians are going to have to cede land to Russia, which would be those four enclaves of
Donbass, Luhansk,
Crimea. And, you know, Crimea, you know, for a lot of people, they don't realize, you know, historically wise, Yalta, everything that was signed in Yalta was Crimea. But, you know, Roosevelt and everyone meeting back then. But there's a lot of significance there. But when you go back and look at history, Crimea has always been Russian. And it's just the whole thing, though, it's just like this Gaza stuff. Everything was started from these types of Newlands and, you know, using U.S. tax dollars to ferment war all over the planet, causing massive death and destruction. I mean, over 500,000 or more, and not counting the disabled and stuff that are going to have to live with that. And I just watched this stupid video this morning where this eccentric woman was screaming that most of the Ukraine soldiers speak Russian. And then she went on to lament about the fact, what are they fighting for? Well, they're not fighting for their freedoms, because I've seen all the videos from 2030 of what the proposed plans are for Ukraine. It's another one of these digitized worlds and stuff like that. It's total lockdowns. It's another huge 15-minute city. That's what I'm looking at, you know?
Yeah, and the point I've been making, 15-minute cities are open-air prisons. I mean, just imagine if you could not travel 15 minutes from your home, that would mean I couldn't even visit my daughter and son-in-law because they're 20 minutes away. Would mean I couldn't travel to New York, San Francisco, Colorado, any damn place I choose. It's imprisoning us on the basis of the absurd claim that man-made contribution to CO2 are affecting the climate of the earth. Even Bill Gates has admitted that that's false, so that's just a fantasy. I did a 10-part series with Joe Olson. He's a completely brilliant engineer, qualified across the field, and on anti-climate warming, which you can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, where in the very first, he observed that over 600 million years of Earth's history, there hasn't been any correlation, no correlation at all between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. Lacking a correlation, obviously, there can be no causal relationship. Not only that, but CO2 is indispensable to life, contributes to the production of water and of air, in case you hadn't noticed. We need those to survive. It actually has the effect of cooling Earth in four different ways. Keith, the situation here is just absurd. Americans are being played as though they were morons, and I'm sad to say, because of their scientific illiteracy, it goes a long way.
Well, yeah, it does. Well, it's like that that huge ice sheet down there in the Antarctic there. PBS had just recently ran a tweet back then. I guess they call it post now on X. But anyway, about how this global warming has caused this massive sheet of ice to break off, which is nearly the size of Rhode Island, right? Well, 2 years before, they ran an article on the 92 active volcanoes underneath the Antarctic. And, of course, if you search where those were, it's exactly underneath where this massive ice sheet was breaking off. The warming is coming from underneath, because anyone can go to the Internet and look up the temperatures there in the Antarctic, minus 71 degrees. Well, water starts thawing at 32. I mean, you know, ice starts thawing at 32, so sure. If it's 71 degrees below zero, nothing's melting above it. It's got to be coming from below.
That's a great point, Keith. a great point. What else would you like to say about Ukraine? Because I'm convinced that it's the defeat in Ukraine that has led to the ethnic cleansing in Israel. They wanted Ukraine to be the new Israel because the vast majority of occupants of present-day Israel have no Hebrew blood. They're descendants of the region now known as Ukraine, and they wanted to return to make it their homeland, but because they have no Hebrew blood, but the Palestinians did. The Palestinians are bona fide Semites, whereas they are not. It turns out Israel is the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today. I believe if they are going to have to stay in the lands of Palestine for 3,000 years, they've only been here for 75, they want to get rid of all the Palestinians. I've said before and say again, from the Israeli point of view, the final solution is to load them all aboard a ship, load them out to sea, and sink it. Otherwise, they just want to drive them out of Palestine or kill them. And they thought they could drive them into the Sinai, but Egypt has said no. They wanted to drive them into Jordan, but Jordan has said no. And that's all especially correct and prompt. Indeed, even the Palestinians know if they leave, they're not going to be allowed to return. But the mass killing is going on unabated, and the world is horrified. This has forever destroyed the illusion of Jews as victims. This clearly shows they are sadistic, they are vicious, they believe in their own supremacy over every other race, and that they're entitled to murder Palestinians with impunity because they are the chosen people, and this is the promised land. Keith.
Well, that's like Alan Dershowitz talking about you have no constitutional right to object to the vaccine. And, of course, we all know that from their own papers it says who are the Jews behind the vaccines. Again, as you just said, no one else has rights, only those alleged chosen ones. But, you know, I'll give you a quick summary. A good friend of mine was from the Aleutian Islands up there in Alaska there. And I asked him, I said, what's it like up there? He said, it's no different than living in Seattle. Well, see, this is the same premise of Ukraine. Most of the, and I don't, you know, so I have nothing against Jews themselves there, but if you want to displace and move a bunch of a Jewish population to the Ukraine, as is stated in their own leaked reports, you know, that's why Crimea is so important, because the inland areas of Ukraine are just like Siberia, Russia. It's frozen all the time. That's why they're so dependent on the ground freezing and stuff to roll these tanks and stuff. So they want their vacation areas, just like Zelensky had his little vacation home there in Crimea, which has been seized by Russia, of course. But anyway, but that's what they want. They want their another thing I just heard here from one of the IDF soldiers says that the reason the response is so bad in Israel there was because most of the IDF were sitting on the beaches doing hash, enjoying the sun and stuff. That's the lifestyle, the lazy lifestyle. Then in the background, as he's talking, it shows two of these IDF soldiers walking by, two male soldiers holding hands. And remember that homosexuality is a Jewish tradition and stuff like that, you know. But they keep imposing their lifestyle on everyone else. Same thing here in the United States here, bringing in all this LGBT agenda, the immigration, which the immigration, of course, is decades of U.S. wars, your U.S.-led wars, on behalf of the neocons to move all these populations out from around the Middle East so that they can build this greater Israel project.
Yes, yes. Paul Craig Roberts has observed this is an extension, this war with Hamas of 9/11, to complete the job of overthrowing seven countries in the next 5 years, namely all the Arab countries that were counterbalancing Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to take out the Persian nation of Iran. It succeeded up to Syria when Russian and Iranian forces intervened to stop it cold. Now it's being resurrected. Have no doubt. This is all to promote the greater Israel from the Tigris to the Nile. We'll be right back with my special guest, Keith Rogers, right after this break. Thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted we finally got on the air today, and Keith Rogers is back with me again. Keith, there's a sensational article, Jews Declare War on America. This is published on UNZ.com, then usually known as the UNS Review, by Joseph Tiberius. We face an unprecedented and revolutionary situation, it begins. The Jews have declared war on America. This is a disaster for America and may also be a disaster for the Jews. A little background. At a moment when Israel is fighting for its very life, if one is to credit the analysis of Scott Ritter, why I no longer stand with Israel, and retired U.S. Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, Israel has lost no matter what they do. World War III is here. Not to mention Israeli IDF retired Major General Itzhak Brek, Israel could cease to exist before its 80th anniversary, says ex-Premier Barak, and Israel is absolutely dependent on American support. McGregor, Israel played right into their hands. They have lost big time. The Jews have decided to open a second front, and maybe a far more dangerous one, a front against America. For the Jews, this is very foolish. Even in the worst case, for the Jews, if Israel is annihilated, its population expels, the Jews still have the United States as a refuge. A refuge they have spent 100 years spitting on one which they disdain, but a refuge nevertheless. Moreover, it's exactly this refuge they could, if anything can, ensure that the first objective of their affections, Israel, continues to exist. One would think it would be the time U.S.-based Jews would cool it on the anti-Semitism war they've been waging on any and all deviating from the Jewish line for the past century, even if just for a time to avoid alienating the great power that is the only thing standing between Israel and its potential destruction. But no. Jews, since the October 7th Hamas attack, have essentially declared war not on Hamas, the IDF is haltingly attempting to do that, but on Americans. And not just on any Americans, but on the most precious commodity that non-Jew Americans, whether Christian or Muslim Americans, possess, their children. Keith, of course, Amy Goodman interviewed an Israeli, a former minister of education, decades ago. And when Amy brought up anti-Semitism or attacks on Israel, she said it's a trick. Whenever we get an attack on Israel, in Europe, we bring up the Holocaust. In America, we call it anti-Semitic. And I think that's exactly right. Any attack, any criticism of Israel, no matter how well-founded, how about this? Israel is committing genocide. That's wrong. Is interpreted as anti-Semitic and therefore a racist smear. Keith, I think we've had too much of this for too long. It's tired. It's worn out. To hell with that. No one should believe it or take it seriously anymore. Your thoughts.
Okay, well, I can answer that in a three-part summary here. On September 27th, Joe Biden had approved an open visa for Israelis to come to the United States, which was how many days before the October 7th event? There's photos now of the Ben-Gurion airport totally empty, as well as knowing that Hamas, remember that Bibi knew ahead in advance that Hamas was going to attack. He had warnings from Egypt and also from U.S. intel that something big was coming. Anyway, did you know that 230,000 Israelis have left Israel in the last month?
No, it's fascinating.
Okay, so
they know what's coming, Keith. They know what's coming.
Okay, so now in the reverse, like I've been telling you on emails and stuff, something's up here because now they're talking about Iranian snipers here, Hamas, and they're showing images of grenades and stuff. And so now you have a lot of these Jews that say they need to go to Israel because of anti-Semitism. So this is like trying to scare the Jews back to Israel. As you see the population waning there, and a lot of these guys, as mentioned before with that IDF soldier, who said that most of these guys want to sit around the beach and smoke hash and stuff like that. You know, they wanted a relaxed lifestyle because, of course, the United States is paying them to live there. But now comes this new article here of a crisis update. The globalists play this new ban on the critique of Zionism. Well, the Torah Jews have said that critiquing Zionism is totally fine and is not anti-Semitism, and even the ADL had to come out and admit that talking about Zionist was not anti-Semitic. So now we see this new art, and this article's on Money Circus, it's Substack there, but anyway, so they're Netanyahu looks like he's going to be the fall guy on this. And of course, there's always a puppet somewhere, just like Zelensky and all these failed operations there. But anyway, there's something going on here before or behind all this stuff. And it's all these globalists, just like almost anything you look up today on the Internet, whether it's if you're against the globalist, it's anti-Semitism. If you're against the vaccine, it's anti-Semitism. If you're against immigration, it tells you exactly who's behind all this stuff, you know. And this is all being ran from the B'nai B'rith, these backyard Freemasons, you know. They're the ones controlling this. And this article also ties into what you were mentioning before on the other show, how the Leviathan, the gas field off the coast over there, that secret oil deal the United States had, I think it was back in 73 with Israel to supply the oil. And of course, Niger had just cut off their LNG through Nigeria. And, of course, Newland runs down there right away because this affects France and also the other gas lines going up there because they're talking that Turkey might cut off its oil and gas supply to Israel. We have all the Arab states saying they need to shut down the oil and stuff to, that supplies Israel. As you mentioned with Scott Ritter and Doug McGregor, Israel's basically lost this in a PR campaign. And the only thing I see, as I've been mentioning, is that there's that video Mitchell could play, but where they talk about how Israel's the only protectorate of the Palestinian people. That, as you look into your mind and see the recent videos of them bombing hospitals, schools, UN refugee centers, border crossing. Of course, they tell you, leave through the Rafah border. Then they bomb it, you know. They're making it so people can't get out. And what's sad to me in the 21st century, and I don't care whether it's Israel, the United States, Ukraine, Russia, we'll look at. We have 24/7 coverage of helmet cams, police body cams, and whatever, CCTV cams of all these crimes being committed worldwide, and there's not a thing being done about it to curtail any of it.
Yeah, of course, I agree. Get this, Haaretz, which of course is a major Israeli newspaper, declares Netanyahu to be an existential threat to Israel's survival. Get this. Haaretz on Netanyahu. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is meant to be leading the country, is a haunted politician facing the end of his career with the present troubles compounding the serious criminal entanglement into which he maneuvered himself with his own hands. Netanyahu does not enjoy the public's confidence, and most of his efforts are invested in his personal survival. Keep in mind, this is the opinion of an important Israeli newspaper of the man who holds the strings on Israel's puppets in Washington. Sensational. Your thoughts?
Well, I said there's always a fall guy. It's always been that way. Bill Cooper had mentioned this decades ago before the Arizona police took him out, you know. But they always use a fall guy, and it doesn't matter because this B'nai B'rith, they'll set up Jews, just like Zelensky, a Jew. It's like listening to Vladimir Putin over there in Russia saying, here you have the president of Ukraine who's a Jewish, and he's leading the Azov battalion, which are Nazis. And then he laments, he says, doesn't Zelensky know his history? And what I see, and this is also being noted by E. Michael Jones and those, is that the Holocaust narrative is coming to an end. And it's just worn out. Matter of fact, I sent you that. You said good catch on one of the videos I put there, but it was talking about the initial attack on October 7th in Israel, and the first words out there was 900 Jews were holocausted by Hamas there. So they're throwing this Holocaust back out there. And now you have the Yahoo News and both the Guardian saying that the Jews are overplaying this Holocaust narrative to the point where it's not working anymore. Well, they're doing it to themselves because Hitler never bombed the ghettos. And that's exactly what Gaza is. It's just a ghetto complete with tunnels, all this stuff, just like it was in the ghettos, you know. So they're blowing their own narrative. And that's why E. Michael Jones has that new book out called The Holocaust Narrative like that. But he quotes from even Blinken, where Blinken, before he gets up there to say anything, he has to bring up some wild story, which has been disproven by the Jewish Telegraph Agency and stuff like that, that the events that Blinken cites about his grandfather never happened because there was no black tanks or black commanders in tanks, even 150-some-odd miles from whichever prison camp it was and stuff like that, you know. But he says that my grandfather could see the star on the side of this tank, and he ran up to it, and this hatch opened up, and this big black man swooped them up and brought them into the thing there, and all they could say was, God bless America. Well, this is how they use, you know, they drive off the emotions of Americans, you know. But again, like I say, a lot of this is all disproven. What we're finding right now, Jim, is that as the aged population of the so-called Holocaust survivors wanes, there's hardly any World War II veterans alive today. Likewise, there was hardly any of the original alleged Holocaust survivors around. So they have to keep this going. So their stories will get more and more fiction, you know, because there's no one around to dispute them anymore.
Well, it's ridiculous. And these were death camps. The people were unloaded. They were undressed, put in gas chambers, and done in immediately. How could his grandfather allegedly have survived being in three different camps? The whole story is absurd on its face. And, of course, we know the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping copious records of every inmate in all the camps, their age, their sex, their ethnicity, their religion, their cause of death. In 1993, they recalibrated the numbers and found the total for all camps combined, 296,081, none of whom died from being put to death in a gas chamber. Indeed, during the trials of in Canada of a prominent Holocaust denier, there were 1984 and 1988. In 1984, the most striking feature was that the prosecution couldn't produce a single witness who could swear to having seen anyone put to death in a gas chamber. In 1988, Fred Lochter was leading expert on gas chambers in the world, issued a report showing he examined the facilities, and there was nothing there could remotely have functioned as a gas chamber. You would have thought that would put an end to it, but they're insistent on lying and lying and lying because Jewish political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. So they persist in running it, cramming it down our throats, no matter how fantastic, how obvious the lies become. Keith, I'm glad to hear it's running out of gas at last.
Yeah, another one here is, I don't know if I sent you the video from Australia. It was, I think it was CBS News out of Australia, but they had talked about how, and this pissed off a bunch of people up here when it got up here, because I think I posted on Twitter there, or X. But anyway, they were talking about how the United States pays for the entire Ukraine government, pays for it. And that's their social services, their pensions, and everything. So as well as the military, and then sending the billions of dollars in arms and stuff like that. The United States, or our tax dollars, let's just put it that way. So Zelensky last night came out and he asked the U.S. for money on credit. Well, we already know, this is an NBC interview where it says he actually suggested that it was possible for the United States to provide gratuitous financing to the Kiev regime. He should provide Ukraine with a loan, which would they would return after the war. Well, we already know that BlackRock, Monsanto, and all these guys are buying up massive land and stuff over there. So how's this going to take place? And of course, again, what are you going to do? Put in all this massive GMO corns? I just saw where Iran now has banned the use of GMOs. Why is everyone, like in Europe and stuff, banning GMOs, yet here it's going on strong?
Yeah, of course. That's because the lobbies have much more power here than they have in those other countries. And I think it's very clear that we're talking about these genetically modified food do great harm to human beings and other living things. It's absolutely outrageous.
Well, I think there's more to this, Jim, because, you know, you and I growing up, you're a few years older than I am. But the point is all I can think of is the cleavers, where the mother cooked, the boys ran around, had fun and stuff like that. Oh, they had their school issues and stuff like that. But Ward was out working, everything like that. But that was the family unit, you know. And, of course, they had to feminize the women to get them out into the world, to get them into another tax bracket. Then, of course, the schools became the babysitters along with the one-eyed tube there to sit there and foster all this. I mean, people don't even look at it this way, but you can go to YouTube and look at all these old videos of Woody Woodpecker and any of them. They're all fighting with each other. These are cartoons that kids are subjected to. And then, you grew up with the G.I. Joes, the little green army men and stuff. It's a warlike society that we live in, and that it's just prepping, you know. And, of course, all the movies, constant movies to keep us into whatever terrorists that the CIA wants us to look at. All these evening shows like NCIS and stuff where it's an Iranian or a Muslim or something like that that's a constant terrorist, you know, that we have to be on alert for like that, you know. The point is, though, is if the United States would pull out of all these other countries and stuff, you wouldn't have terrorism because that's exactly why the U.S. is there. It breeds more terrorism so that, you know, with people pissed off that their loved ones were killed, their entire cities were demolished and under nation building, massive loans to the IMF. Nothing gets done because of the Western corporations that sit there and they built the country out of massive loans. And then, of course, the only way they can repay those loans is to start privatizing their country to sell off, you know, waterworks, plants, prisons or whatever like that, you know, and they go into massive debt. And a good example of that was what happened in Nicaragua. But people don't understand how this system works there. And of course, the government always supplies the enemy. And it's just like Red Dawn, as I think I've mentioned before. The Soviets, the Cubans, and the Nicaraguans, able to skirt all that U.S. Billions of dollars. And you have to go back to think of this, too, since the war footing came from 1947 from the NCS 68 doctrine there, which basically turned the Soviets into an instant enemy. And it was this document, as admitted by the CIA, was to drive people into the hands of the Soviet Empire. So you had those like Cuba and all this stuff, the revolutions down through Latin America, so that they would have their eternal Satan to keep these wars going like at the funding. So when you look at the amount of money spent from 1947 to the point in the 1980s when this Red Dawn came out, how many billions of dollars in defense was soaked like that? And then you're supposed to have the Soviets, the Cubans, and the Nicaraguans skirt all that defense to land in some football field in Colorado. You know, it's hilarious. And then, of course, you have, like I mentioned earlier, the Iranians are supposed to have snipers in America, sleeper cells, they call them, the Hamas with the grenades and stuff like that. Well, who's in charge of the border? Mayorkas, see? Who's not vetting these? If there were here, who's not vetting them, you know? It's more than just a Jewish op, because your politicians out there know this. They have to know, like, the UN forced immigration. Anyone can read that document. It's subtitled where you can click on the U.S. They plan for 1 billion people in this country by 2050. It's all there. But see, no one reads. They're too busy watching porn or some sitcom or something like that. And it's only when it directly starts to affect them, then they stand up and they start screaming like, hey, we're under attack. But yet it's been led that way. People are being herded. And it's like the U.S. military. I hate to say it there, but I keep thinking of Rowdy Hayes, Clint Eastwood, you know. The military is basically herding cattle, the goy, into all these areas away from Israel and stuff like that to build the greater Israel. And they're just herders, massive cattle herders. That's all they are today.
Oh, Keith, I think you got it exactly right. Exactly right. And doesn't look like it's working. I mean, we have several reports that as many as 5,000 Delta Force were involved in the first effort to bring about a ground invasion of Gaza. Colonel McGregor had explained how the Israelis had harmed themselves by destroying so many buildings, creating so much rubble. That was wonderful. Defensive firing positions, making it far more difficult to systematically cleanse any area. or to bring in track vehicles like tanks. So he believes they've done themselves tremendous damage. We have multiple reports that this Delta Force continued was shot up badly. They were defeated. Even Israeli television were expressing disappointment that his attempted incursion, his ground force entry into Gaza, had been a disaster, a calamity. So they've gone about adopting the Dresden agenda. They want to bomb every single building in Gaza, and they're doing a hell of a job of it. But they're slaughtering so many innocent women and children. I mean, how many days can you go on bombing innocent women and children and think the world is not going to notice? And that your cover story, when it's so grossly disproportional to the events allegedly committed about the Hamas raid into Israel and taking hostages, is out of proportion by gigantic measure. I mean, I think that Israel has lost all credibility. The raid shattered its claims to invincibility. Numerous IDF former have observed that this is impossible unless it was allowed to happen. I'm convinced, Bibi, let it happen. Just as Haaretz is now calling him out as an existential threat to Israel, he wanted it to happen. There were going to be massive rallies against him that weekend for trying to reform the Constitution of Israel and extricate himself from his criminal corruption, legal dilemma. And he's willing to do it by putting the whole nation at risk. I think Haaretz has got him right. Yours.
Yeah, Jim, there was a video last night of, I can't count how many thousands, but it's just like a cell phone that panned over the crowd there. But many, many, many thousands of people outside Netanyahu's house last night demanding that Bibi stop his relentless bombing of Gaza. And then what was this morning's news is that Israel is now deploying what they call seismic bombs. These Israelis want their captured, what I call prisoners of war, since Israel declared war. So they're not hostages, they're prisoners of war. But anyway, they want their prisoners of war back. And so now they're doing these seismic bombs, which the videos are horrible. But they're trying to collapse these underground tunnels. And I don't know if you've seen some of these. They can actually drive vehicles and stuff through these tunnels. And then came out the news yesterday that they're now saying that Russia will help build the tunnels.
Of course, of course, of course. Well, you know, there are reports, Keith, of massive tunnels throughout the United States. I mean, if you want to know where our trillions of dollars have gone, there appears to be underground network, high-speed rail, a whole city, a whole alternative capital under Denver Airport, not just in Cheyenne Mountain. And I believe these are accurate reports. I mean, it staggers the mind how much the government has become detached from the people and could give a shit about America or Americans and their best interests. They're all in for their Zionist controllers. We have a country not of, by, and for the people, of, by, and for Israel. This is the United States of Israel, Keith, no doubt about it.
Well, you have the Norway, that seed locker up there. In one of Admiral Byrd's original videos from the Antarctic, they said that the Antarctic is basically a frozen locker to freeze as long as you needed any food supply or anything like that. Because, as I mentioned before, with minus 71 degrees and stuff, you can basically have a refrigerator down there and it's permanently frozen. So God knows how much grain and stuff has been taken down there. And of course, remember, it's all off limits. You just can't go down to Antarctica like that, you know.
Keith, yeah. I'm just thrilled to have you here. We're about to hit the break again, but there's so much more to discuss. So I'll be right back with Keith Rogers right after this break. Thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Here we have a plan. A local call-in Israeli newspaper leaked an official Israeli government document recommending what Palestinians have been saying. Israel is already trying to execute with its war on Gaza, namely the forcible transfer of Gaza, 2.3 million population to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. the PM News office acknowledged the intelligence ministry's proposal exists, discussing it in a statement in the Times of Israel's a concept paper, the likes of which are prepared at all levels of government and security agency. Yet Israeli actions, circulating information in international port, all signal that this policy on paper is being transitioned to the policy on the ground. But of course, you and I agree with this, Keith. They just want to get all the Palestinians out of Palestine. They want it for themselves. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, here's another one for you, Jim. Remember all these politicians, whether they're Canadian, American, UK, Australia, everyone had to get out there and denounce Hamas. That was mandatory. You had to denounce Hamas. Well, on the 28th of November, guess what? The same person, George Soros, who helped turn in Jews to the Nazis, he supplied $15 million to promote the backing of Hamas.
Yeah.
See, it's this constant, I mean, $15 million, I think of people in poverty and stuff like that, what $15 million would do. But see, this is to move policy. Even Elon Musk here recently tore into George Soros, who himself had said he wanted to see America destroyed. And a lot of people like Steve Bannon there. There's an article on The Guardian there where Bannon says he's a Marxist, and he wants to see the nation state destroyed. So a lot of his stuff, I don't even listen to him there. But what I find also here is that the UN now has finally came out in mass, I guess you call it, where the leaders of 18 United Nations agencies and nonprofit organizations, NGOs, which are highly funded, you know, but they've expressed their shock and horror at the soaring civilian deaths. The only problem is, though, is the UN, since its start here, has lost 88 staff members killed in Gaza. I mean, where does the protection of the UN, who's supposed to be out there, the so-called United Nations, which hasn't united anyone in its entire existence, but when they finally have to speak up and say, hey, you know, you're killing all of our people, and again, like that I mentioned earlier on that email to you, they tell the Gazans to flee to these refugee centers, and then they bomb the refugee centers.
Right.
It's genocide.
They're just concentrating the target to make it easier to kill.
Yeah, and then that one area, that refugee camp, that they, killed 400 on, and then they did a double tap on it a couple hours later there, and they killed, 80 more or something like that? I mean, this is genocide. And now people are finally calling it for what it is. But again, I look at the politicians that refuse to denounce this stuff, and then it comes to mind here, what was all this Epstein stuff about? And why has all these lists been kept secret and stuff like that? I think there's more here than what's being told.
Oh, yeah. Blackmail is very effective, and they seem to have entrapped a lot of prominent figures, including, for example, Bill Clinton, who made some 26 flights to Epstein's Island. I think he liked having sex with these underage girls, but they were incapable of resisting. And then they had audio and video all over the island. They captured every minute of every action, every behavior of everyone they brought down, and that included, it appears, Alan Dershowitz, who's, you know, just made some absurd stuff. I used to think Dershowitz was such a smart guy. His commentary on the OJ, he was a part of the defense team, of course, getting OJ off of the criminal. He was then convicted in the civil, with a much more effective presentation. Marcia Clark fumbled the ball in so many different ways. But Dershowitz, it seemed to me, has long since sold out and is no longer reliable. The guy out there I think is truthful as a critic of legal issues is Jonathan Turley. So far as I can tell, Turley's been spot on in virtually every single issue he's addressed, including excoriating those who are bringing all these baseless charges against Donald Trump in an effort to influence the election. And then, of course, I mentioned how Zelensky's inviting Trump to Ukraine to underscore that Trump can't bring about peace. I mean, Keith, this is just ridiculous. I've never seen a party more frightened of an opponent, an opposing politician, than the Democrats are of Donald Trump. And I'm convinced it's because he cleaned their clock in 2016 when it was rigged for Hillary. That election was altered by the turnout in the rural areas. They did not anticipate that put Trump over the hump, so he wouldn't let it again. Obama made sure the electoral system was under the control of the Department of Homeland Security by declaring it to be critical infrastructure. Now DHS can monitor and change the vote down to the precinct level, and they showed their ability, their flair in 2020 when, by my best calculation, Trump got over 100 million votes, Biden about 37. I mean, who gave a damn about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? They had a joint appearance, which was rare, in Phoenix the day before the election. And Keith, the total number who turned out to see them, zero. Zero. Nobody gave a damn. And this guy is supposed to win an election with more votes than any other candidate in history. It's absurd.
Well, since you brought up some history, you remember on the OJ verdict, how many, probably tens and tens of millions tuned into that. You remember that date and the airtime of that. Well, you know what was playing on the other channel? That was when That's when Bill Clinton got out there and admitted that the U.S. government had performed thousands of medical experiments, biological and all this stuff, on Americans.
Oh, Clinton was admitting it at this time?
Yeah, I have the video. I could have Mitchell play it if you want. But that's when he got out there and he talked about how, you know, this passes a Tuskegee, all this stuff like that, you know. But this is where they put chemicals or biological agents in airports to see how it would travel around the world and everything like that. Bill Clinton admitted to it. But, you know, like I say, people were more enthralled with if the glove didn't fit, you know. and, of course, since it the way they build racism in this country, it was a black man and a white woman, you know. So they had to drill that home. In the meantime, like I say, Bill Clinton was free to sit there and tell the rest of the world that was monitoring another channel that didn't care about the O.J. Simpson stuff, that weren't racist and all this stuff. You know, Bill Clinton was on the other channel telling about this massive biological experiments that was being done on Americans without their knowledge.
Well, of course, it was a racism. O.J. transcended race. Everyone admired him. I was a huge fan. In fact, I think the whole idea of racism, when most of our sports heroes are actors, I mean, just look one after another. Will Smith, Denzel Washington, you know, you go through the list. Our most admired actors are all black. Our predominant sports heroes, Michael Jordan, go down the list. Entertainers, Michael Jackson, go down the list. So many of them are black. If this country were racist, it wouldn't be that way. I mean, it's ridiculous to claim the United States is racist. But they get that premise out there, and then they act as though it were true to justify horrendous actions that are destroying the country and actually fomenting racism that did not previously exist.
Yeah. And here's another one. That, I always say things are shady when you start seeing things happening, like in Tacoma over in Seattle there. The video here shows hundreds and hundreds of activists that are blocking the entrance to a port of a U.S. ship that's allegedly carrying weapons to Israel, where it's docked right now. Again, how do people find out about this stuff? You know, what the cargo is and stuff like that, to where they can suddenly find, corral a bunch of people together and stuff. There's too many things that are going on right now that just, they're hinky, as they said, you know, it just, most people don't care about it. Even Douglas McGregor says it, and which is proven. A lot of Americans don't give a damn about what goes on in the Middle East and stuff like that. They're more worried about their own life, their lifestyle, stuff like that, how to make a living, and everything like that, you know. But suddenly you have all these little protest groups pop up. And as I mentioned to you on the email there and on the phone, with Jakarta, with over 2 million people, and where'd all these Palestinian flags come from and all these pre-printed signage boards? I've talked to you before about the cost of having some of these signs made and stuff like that. These are all like pre-printed, ready to go. Like someone is moving something. And if it isn't dark money, it's got to be light money. There's either call it what you want, white hats or something like that, that are trying to break this thing up like that. But there's something nefarious going on.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, but I do think the protests are real. I think there's, there are wealthy individuals who believe in Palestine and the Palestinian cause. I don't believe manufacturing those little flags would be such a difficult task in terms of production. So I'm not quite convinced that the presence of so many of these little flags is indicative of anything being out of order. I am impressed with the enormity of the protests. I mean, in Washington, D.C., this past weekend, it was immense, simply immense. And I have some photographs here. Largest protest in U.S. history shuts down the streets in Washington, D.C. An estimated 300,000 demonstrators shut down the streets of D.C., in the largest Palestine protests in U.S. history, calling for a ceasefire and an end to genocide in Gaza on Saturday. Hundreds of thousands gathered in Washington, D.C. to demand a ceasefire in Gaza. Organizers estimate 300,000 people, they got the photographs that, in my opinion, support it, attended the rally in March, easily making it the largest demonstration for Palestine in U.S. history. Protesters gathered in Freedom Plaza, where the organizer delivered speeches and led chants in support of Gaza before marching to the White House. The event was organized by a coalition of organizations, including the Palestinian Youth Movement, Answer Coalition, American Muslim Alliance, the People's Forum, National Student for Justice in Palestine, Al-Awada, the Palestine Right to Return Coalition, U.S. Palestinian Community Network, U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, and Maryland to Palestine, endorsed by over 500 organizations. I'm just glad to see people speaking up and protesting, Keith. I mean, I think that's damn good.
Well,
and
yeah.
I think the government was too embarrassed to crack down and to mace them all. But, I mean, that's the sort of thing. Look what they did on January 6th, which was a Nancy Pelosi-inspired event with the complicity of the FBI, who seated the crowd with hundreds of informants. There were so many informants, the FBI not even willing to acknowledge how many there were.
Yeah, I think something important here, Jim, is to show or prove that racism in itself is dead. When you have people from all over the world, whether it's UK, America, whatever like that, Italy, Paris, all these countries there, you see whites standing alongside all these Arabs and stuff that are demonstrating against the bombing of Muslims. So, you know, there's only a few out there which would say, nuke them, see? But generally, most people want to get along. And I've even seen videos out there on BitChute and other platforms where these young kids, some of them are a little bit squirrely, if you know what I mean, but they say, hell no, it's a new version of hell no, we won't go. We're not fighting your damn wars anymore. Most people just want to get along today.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Keith. I agree completely. And I'm just glad to see that there are Americans who are willing to get out and speak up in protests, especially in Washington, D.C. Now, there was that huge protest in front of Bibi Netanyahu, who was home right there in Israel. Now you're telling me they want to use this horrific bomb. Which one is it, Keith? I mean, there's the thermobaric that sucks all the oxygen out.
No, this one's called seismic, so it sounds more like a JDAM. But I think that's what, a 2,000-pound bomb or something like that. But anyway, you know what gets me about this whole thing? Just watching it. When you see Gaza burning, they come out with the official death toll of 31 on day 31. At over 10,000. Well, you think of the recent Turkey earthquake along with Syria and how many people were that died in that. But, you know, when it's an act of God, people can kind of, well, you know, but when it's deliberate, when you're deliberately killing people, that's when people finally stand up and say, no, had it, you know.
I think there are fewer and fewer acts of God, if you will. For example, Acapulco was hit by a hurricane that I submit it was obviously man-made. came out of nowhere, hit massively, then completely disappeared. I think it's like Lahaina, except they use a different causal mechanism. Lahaina, like Paradise, California, was a directed energy weapon. I think they don't want to be monotonous and use it the same way. But notice, Lahaina and Acapulco are two of the most luxurious locations in the world. So I say the motivation is also quite conspicuous. They just want to destroy these areas to buy them up for a song. We're talking about BlackRock or State Street or Vanguard. And then they're going to convert it to extremely expensive condos and estates for the super rich. Keith, it's just disgusting what's going on. Absolutely disgusting.
I'm watching right now a video from Lebanon right now. And again, you have to... I use the term saps quite a bit there, especially when it comes to the U.S. military. But this here video here is Hezbollah releases footages of its new anti-ship missiles. And all I can think about is those poor saps on those carriers and that new nuclear sub that just pulled into the Mediterranean over there that all could become victims because of this bloodthirsty cult that wants to either back up Israel or start World War III. And what one of these little missiles would do to an aircraft carrier, forget what that Kissinger missile from Russia would do.
Yeah.
But this could be launched locally. And you ever try to turn a flat top or something like that around? What's your top speed? Maybe 30-some-odd miles an hour, if lucky, if at full speed. But when you've got a torpedo headed toward it and stuff like that, there's nothing you can do, really.
Oh, these, the Russian torpedoes are super fast, and they have a corkscrew kind of trajectory. They're unstoppable.
Yeah.
They have anti-ship missiles, similarly unstoppable. I mean, the Russians have the equipment. These carriers are anachronisms. They're from an earlier era. They're no longer relevant. They're actually obsolete. And I believe in short order, one or another is going to be taken out. Here, Mitchell adds that the Nimitz carrier actually can go up to 70 knots. That's pretty damn impressive. But the fact is that these are easy targets, and I think even Hezbollah has the ability to sink the American carriers, and I think, in fact, it's going to happen in short order, my guess.
Yeah, and like I say, this... the nuclear-capable submarine from that was in West Asia and has now appeared in Gaza. So, you know, I look at the playbook because the entire U.S. financial system is a huge bubble. There was a recent comment from Iran that if they turn the oil spigots down, not only to Israel but to the West in protest, that a $67 trillion derivatives market would instantly collapse. So is this all maybe to be able to blame the financial collapse on, you know, it's like that Jack Hawkins in one of his military movies there where they're on this frigate type thing from the UK. And after he had to get a submarine that was underneath the water, he had to cut his carrier type thing over a crowd of other people that just lost their ship. And they launched their depth charges like that. And he had to live with the fact. And then all he could say in his conscience was, it's the war. It's the war. That he had to sit there and launch those depth charges right over the people that he was trying to rescue, you know. But, again, these casualties of war, what's the sacrifice? Is it to sacrifice 10, 15, 30 people floating out in the water to sink an enemy ship or something like that? What are they willing to waste over there in the Middle East? And, of course, if there is waste in the Middle East, of course, the American tax dollars will have to sit there and say, well, we need three brand new carriers at $3 billion or five or six. And, of course, they'll all exceed their budget, you know. Nothing goes for the people. They sit there in abstract poverty. They can't afford to feed themselves. The IMF says that most people are within $400 have collapsed financially if some other debt comes up. And then you got these politicians that don't care because they're being fed by the military industrial complex to keep passing laws. And it's, I just can't believe the amount of evil that surfaces when you start seeing the real toll behind everything, you know?
Oh, I agree completely. Paul Craig Roberts is now asking whether there's anyone in the American government that represents America. I mean, I think he's making a point. Listen to this. Does any member of the U.S. government represent Americans? This is also in UNZ.com. I'm telling you, that's a fabulous blog there. U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz has courage and principle, for the most part, good ones. It was Gaetz who had the courage and leadership to get rid of Rhino McCarthy as Speaker of the House. It's Gaetz who understands that hardly any member of Congress in either party represents Americans. Instead, they represent a military security complex, power and profit, profits of the pharmaceutical company, profits of agribusiness, ethanol, for example, profits of Wall Street, profits of energy, timber, and mining, and so forth. And especially, the U.S. Congress represents the artificial state of Israel and all of Israel's agenda. Indeed, Matt Gaetz himself cannot escape having to support an occupier of his Palestinian land, claiming it's Israel. The fact that even a brave man like Matt Gaetz has to support an aggressor against a people abandoned by the moral West shows how captured the U.S. government is at all levels by vested moneyed interests. And, of course, it was Cynthia McKinney, Keith, who revealed in 2011 the pledge that all members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of even the interests of the United States, and virtually every single one of them signs it.
Isn't that treason?
Years ago, it might be 7 or 8, a friend of mine asked me, did I know how many members of the then-present Congress had refused to sign the pledge when I admitted I did not. He held up one finger of one hand. One member of Congress had refused to sign the pledge. I reiterate, our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory.
Yeah, it's saddening. You remember the old MASH video series there where Henry Morgan was the colonel there, and he'd have to call every once in a while and say, hey, we're taking enemy fire, or no, we're taking friendly fire and stuff, that you need to move your guns and stuff, you know, but again, here again today, the Red Crescent, which, again, is protected by Geneva rules of law under war, that these army hospitals and stuff are not targeted. Well, today it's released here that Israel is not only targeting the convoys, but they're targeting the convoys that are transporting the wounded, which are supposed to be going to Egypt's hospitals and stuff. So, again, it's just as well as targeting the relief supply. So, again, these are... it's genocide. It's absolute war on civilians.
Yeah, and the whole world knows it, Keith. And I do not believe the world is going to let it stand. I'm a regular caller here to this show who thinks nothing is going to be done. And I tell him, not this time. What are your thoughts about that issue? Because I cannot believe this is going to be allowed to continue. I cannot believe Israel is not going to have to pay a serious price. I cannot even believe Israel is going to continue to exist in anything resembling its current state. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the American voters are also going to symbolize that, too. If there is an election this coming 2024, that people are not going to forget what happened. So the politicians in America are going to weigh a heavy price for supporting this.
Keith, you know, there was a time I might have agreed with that, but I'm so convinced that our election has been corrupted. After Obama, you know, before he left office, to ensure Trump didn't win again, put our electoral system, declared it to be critical infrastructure under the control of the DHS, they can now monitor and even change the vote down to the precinct level across the entire nation. I have said before and say again, the Republicans could run Jesus Christ for their candidate, and he'd still lose because of the way they have the election system rigged. So there's this complete detachment from holding office and exercising power and being responsible to the citizens. I think they're acting with utter impunity, Keith.
Yeah, nice to get a break.
We'll be right back with Keith Rogers, and we'll take your calls.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're opening the lines to callers, and we have Brian standing by. But before we go there, Keith, your opportunity to respond to my last comments. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, I do think the political world will change here. And I know that, as you mentioned there, that the entire voting system is corrupt and everything. But it's like the turnout for Trump. And again, I'm not into politics and stuff like that, but with the turnout for Trump is that people knew that this country needed a new direction. And that's why they had to do so much cheating through their voting machines and stuffing ballot boxes and stuff. But I think you're going to see a massive political change here within the next 2 or 3 months here, especially if this war drags out more. Again, as I mentioned, it's over 10,000 deliberate deaths over there in Palestine right now. And, of course, this is going to cause a massive siege of immigrants coming in from all different areas, and they just won't back down. Like I just posted there in our Skype there about they're actively looking at Russian bases and stuff. They really want to get this whole thing going like that. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to totally alienate the people from the entire political structure, and they'll be begging. I mean, that is going to have to go to a full-blooded tyranny, and that's when they'll lose the country.
Full-blooded tyranny. Well, I think they're pretty much there. Here's one more letter, one more story confirming your points. Israeli doctors sign open letter urging the IDF to bomb Gaza hospitals. I mean, how disgusting. This is a war crime. Israel is a rogue nation, a terrorist nation. Israel deserved to be bombed, not the Gaza hospital. This is just outrageous, Keith.
Jim, did you just say Israeli doctors?
Yes.
Okay, so where is their hypocritical oath of do no harm?
I know, they're hypocritical oath. I do not know. They subscribe. Around 90 Israeli doctors signed an open letter urging the Israeli Defense Forces to bomb hospitals in Gaza. Only last week, dozens of prominent Israeli rabbis had already assured Israeli leaders that they have a right to bomb the Al-Sharif hospital in Gaza. This week's letter, signed by Doctors for the Rights of IDF Soldiers, urges the bombing of any and every hospital in Gaza. The letter states in no uncertain terms that due to suspicion of terrorist activities, the hospitals are a legitimate target for annihilation. They claim ambulances that are evacuating patients in the south in order to be treated elsewhere or at their disposal. It does not mention that these ambulances, too, are being bombed by Israel, or that the south is also being mercilessly pummeled. The doctors claim that the residents of Gaza are the ones who brought their annihilation upon themselves, echoing the genocidal rhetoric of centrist Israeli politicians who have even claimed that the children of Gaza have brought this upon themselves. Collective punishment proscribed by the Geneva Conventions and international law. Israel is a terrorist state. This cannot be allowed to stand, Keith.
Well, no, it's just like over in Ukraine, where you saw hundreds of ambulances coming back from the front lines. Russia didn't bomb those ambulances.
Yeah, of course. We got Brian standing by. Brian, join the conversation with Keith Rogers and me. Your thoughts?
Well, I saw a headline today, and I got on the internet to see what the guy had to say, but it was in a foreign language. But in English, it said, "Our reptilians are going crazy," and so. I thought, boy, I have to see what this guy says, because I think he's on to something. But anyway, when you talked about elections, I go back to the governor race in Nebraska when Tom Osborne, who won 3 national championships, with the University of Nebraska, then he went to Congress and had this, really good record in Congress. And then he said, "I'm going to run for governor of the state." Okay, he was probably the most popular person in the entire state, and somehow he did not get elected. And I was so dumbfounded at the time, but of course now I kind of know what was going on. And I wanted to say to Keith, when he mentioned those Palestinian flags, that suddenly there's all these Palestinian flags, he's on to something, because what I thought about was that clenched fist silhouette emblem that Black Lives Matter uses. Mm-hmm. Che Guevara had the same emblem. The communists that the brown shirts in Germany were fighting, in Weimar Germany, they had that emblem. It seemed like it was also at Kosovo. We had that war in Kosovo.
All through Latin America also.
America. Yeah, exactly. Che Guevara. So, where does this come from? It's the same group, of course. We know who that is. And the other thing that I'm finding that's really interesting now is, I knew that the Al-Sahad family, royal family of Saudi Arabia were Jewish. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but there was an excellent article about the diary of a Roger Hemper, who was in British intelligence in the 1800s, and he talked about the fact that that family was a Jewish merchant family from Basra, Iraq, and they put them in Saudi Arabia and said, just kill everybody you can, get yourself in power, that's what we want. And then today I'm reading about El-Sisi in Egypt, how his uncle was in the Israeli government and was in the IDF at one point, and that his mother's Jewish. And, you know, I mean, and Hezbollah, I thought, well, there's someone that they don't control. Well, then I'm reading about Khomeini was Jewish, and that Hezbollah's,
yeah, Dirijad,
and that, you know, Hezbollah, we know about Hamas, but I thought maybe Hezbollah was the good guys, you know, but, you know, we're just in a big kabuki theater. They always control both sides of everything, and then we're left here trying to figure everything out, and we end up picking sides, and then we end up killing each other. But, you know, it's just a big theater we're in.
Well, so, Brian, anyway, the way I look at it is the way it is these globalists, they supply you with two lies and have you fight over both lies while they're out doing something like by deception, you know.
That's exactly right. The other thing I found interesting that I read about this week, and I didn't know anything about this. Have you heard anything about a group called the Odd Fellows? Do you know anything about them?
I've heard of them, but I haven't looked into them.
Yeah, I think I'd heard of it too. But what they were is they were part of another group called the Daughters of the Daughters of Rebecca, a Masonic Freemason group, and they worked with all the dark bloodlines. Like the Rothschilds provided 100,000, the Rothschild family, 100,000 kids to this Odd Fellows group, and they were in America, brought to America as orphans. These kids didn't have parents because their dads were Rothschilds or whatever, and then they were put in with families and orphanages all around the United States. And this was helped by these Daughters of Rebecca, and that four of our presidents have been Odd Fellows. And then I thought, well, with all these Odd Fellows, that explains why we have all these teachers and principals and people in the pharmaceutical industry that are so jacked up, because, you know, they probably have that horrible bloodline, and that bloodline traces to Charlemagne, and it's part of the Merovingian dynasty bloodline, and it went on about how important genetics were, DNA, to these dark beings, and that's why we always have these ads with black guys with white women and whatnot, because it ruins your DNA if you're, you know, divine DNA. So anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, thanks, Brian. I want to bring in Mitchell, my producer, who has many thoughts of his own. Mitchell, please join the conversation.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Keith. And hi, Brian.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to, well, anything in the Middle East with me, you know, it's hard to pick a dog in any of that fight. I often say, can't we just put a dome over it and let them fight it all out after 1,000 years of going back and forth of who knows what. You know, certainly the Israelis are in the wrong, and certainly Hamas is in the wrong, and somewhere along the line, you know, two wrongs aren't going to make this right. You know, I've said before, my fear is that what this will do is act as a rallying cry and bring together the, you know, the lines of Islam, where they will join together in a battle, you know, against Zionism and against the slaughter of what is going on in in the gospel.
Yeah, Mitchell. It won't be just Zionism, Mitchell. It'll be the West.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it'll be all supporters
Muslims and Islam, basically, against the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, it's no different, Mitchell, than what you saw down through the entire revolutions throughout Latin America.
Yeah.
You had all those people breaking from, and I mentioned on the other show there, that breaking from the empire rule of this colonialism, whether it was the Japanese, when you had the Dutch taking over what the Japanese had, and then you had the French Indochina, and now you had the Spanish Inquisitions, all this stuff down through Latin America and stuff. The 22 non-aligned members down there in Latin America, 23 if you count Spain. But all these revolutions were to break from this because people just want to be free. They don't want empire rule. And the only way the empires existing today, one, the hegemony of the United States, can survive is to have the constant CIA thwarting every single move there is throughout Latin America for people for seeking their independence. Same thing with Taiwan. There's two factions in Taiwan. One is Japanese. The other one is Chinese. And the Japanese are losing because they have to pivot towards China because the Japanese have basically sold out their own economy with their trillion and some odd dollars in massive deficits to their banking system. But the West is waning, and more people are – that's why this whole thing about BRICS is picking up tempest there, is because people just want their freedoms.
Oh, I agree. I agree. You know, well, we don't – when, you know, they are busy calling Hamas terrorists, you know, the biggest terrorists in the world are wearing suits and they're sitting at the head of the World Economic Forum, you know. They're sitting at the head of Canada, you know, Justin Trudeau.
It's think tanks, all these ones that are sitting there trying to move – public opinion. Example of that, Mitchell, is reading The Crisis of Democracy by Brzezinski and co-authors there. But as the internet came to being in the early 90s and people started to wake up to what was going on them in the world because they could actually now talk freely to other countries and actually get historical records and whatever like that from, I mean, it's amazing to see, like even on the Russian channels on Telegram, they're posting old photos and stuff like that of their historical values. And that's what they're trying to do right now. Culture, history, they're trying to wipe all that out because it unites people.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It unites people, and they're taking down statues all over the country that were put up. To recognize, reconciliation between the states. I mean, it's just stunning. They actually melted down the Robert E. Lee statue that had been in Charlottesville, Virginia, just a magnificent piece of artistry, without the public even knowing what they were doing. It was all predicated on the false flag attack that took place long ago, where I tried to call it out, informed 80 members of the Department of History. They didn't lift their least digit to do anything about it, even though it was a total sham. And I sent them the evidence to prove it. I mean, the cowardice among academics is simply mind-boggling.
It's the same in Ukraine right now, Jim, as they're defacing and taking down all these old Soviet-era type things. You know, when the 2014 coup started there, and they started talking about pro-Russians, well, I did a quick demographic study on what Ukraine was. Well, the majority of the population was born before 1991, so they were all Russians. They try to divide.
Yeah. Yeah. Mitchell? More?
The former... If you look at the past voting records in Ukraine, really anything, you know, in the eastern part of Ukraine voted demographically and voted for Russian and Russian interests. You know, I had thought that was the original plan, was to use the Dnieper River there as a natural barrier. Defensive barrier, but I guess, you know, with the U.S. entrenchment and involvement in the defense of Ukraine. You know, that really failed. I'm sure the Russians are saying, man, we should have went in 2014.
Well, you have to read the Pale of Settlement to understand. This is what Mr. Fetzer had brought up earlier with his Khazarian empire there. But if you read the Pale of Settlement, you'll see exactly what's going on. This is those old entrenched views that, when you hear a Putin or a Medvedev talking about the Poles, if what gets done to secure those four oblasts, how you pronounce that, over there on the eastern side. Now you have the Poles that say they want to take two states. Hungary wants to take two states out of that entire country. So the term rump state comes into the thing here, that Kiev basically won't have nothing to fight for. And this so-called massive empire that the Khazarians wanted to rebuild, it won't be there to do. And this is why they're so frantic to keep this war going over there. And again, all you can think about is the amount of billions of dollars throughout Europe, America, that's going over there, which is depriving their own citizens of whether it's their health needs, because they're going to have to cut down on social programs and everything like that, just to secure another land for someone else when they won't even control your own borders.
Here we have Seymour Hersh, by the way, talking about a year of lying about Nord Stream. I mean, just think of how much chaos was generated by the U.S. taking out the Nord Stream pipeline, punishing Europe, putting them in a cataclysmic economic position in order to benefit economically ourselves, but especially to preclude Germany and Russia being in a cordial relationship economically, commercially, that would have shown NATO was an anachronism. That we didn't need to pay for all those expensive weapons and all that, which, of course, had the military-industrial complex right here in the United States petrified. So they were very much eager to see this possibility of a real renaissance between Germany and Russia be nipped in the bud, and the fake Biden and Newland, of course, obligingly complied and took it out. It is outrageous. I commend Hirsch for being consistent about it and pursuing it relentlessly.
Yeah, well, Jim, there's been an update in 2022 on the Morgenthau plan. And again, when you start realizing what's going on in Germany, as you just mentioned there, was basically dissected from the Russians because of the LNG gas. The U.S., of course, being able to sell its gas four times its value as they shut down U.S. production here for its so-called green energy stuff, you know. But the Morgenthau plan is part of that Germany must perish. All you got to do is just do a quick research on all those German and Europe businesses now coming to the United States. This is how they're going to rebuild the economy here. And again, this is after corporate America destroyed its own economy by deindustrializing and sending its jobs elsewhere. Now it just creates wars to bring all those jobs back. Well, if Trump was president, the first thing he should do, like right now, there's over 350 businesses of the United States in China. Trump should immediately say, bring those businesses back or you're not going to have a business license to operate.
Yeah.
Those jobs should be all American jobs.
Oh, I agree 100%. Brian, are you still with us? You want to add your two cents worth?
You know, when you brought up them melting down Robert E. Lee's statues, I know what's going on there. If you picked up a textbook in history from, I think, the 1840s, 1850s, they have the history of Tartania, okay? They had the map, they had the flag, you could read all about it, okay? And it's just completely erased, and that's what they're doing with us, because they did not like the original premise of, you know, the formation of this country. They're just trying to erase completely who we are. And 150 years from now, when these poor kids are going to school, the United States of America will be completely erased. There won't be anything in the textbooks. There won't be any statues. They're just starting it now. That's how they work.
Yeah, well, Brian, I'll tell you what, if you get to an old bookstore or something like that and you find an old historical book, grab it. And then they're like $2-3, something like that. You know, someone's old bookshelf, someone that died or something like that, part of an estate sale or something like that. But grab it and then read whatever they have to say in there like that, and then go to Wikipedia and see how much they've already changed the history. They did the same thing with the Azov Battalion to make the Stefan Bandera look like a hero. But they're doing this constantly to remove our culture, our history, anything that brings us together. And that's why these I always get kind of suspicious on any kind of protests like that, because usually most of these are infiltrated with some kind of a government op somewhere like that, you know. But they want us divided. They do not want anyone together, because once together, whether you're black, white, Asian, Korean, whatever like that, you know, Hispanic, they don't want us together. They want total division all the time.
And they want us not knowing our true history. They want
right.
us really dumbed down. So, yeah, I tell Jim, but he doesn't believe it. I do this meditation, and I go above my chakras to my three higher chakras and download information. And everything I get is so spot on, and it's so different. Our history, everything is just... it's mind-boggling how screwed up everything is. And I, from time to time, I get all these little things that show me that what I'm downloading is spot on. One of the things I downloaded, and I couldn't believe it, was that Adolf Hitler was at the Tavistock Institute. And I thought, that just doesn't make sense. And then a few days ago, I run into a researcher that said his wife was researching Hitler, and she discovered a painting of Hitler, a self-portrait of him on a stone bridge. And she said she figured out that that bridge was Clapper Bridge at the Tavistock Institute. So it just blew my mind. Everything I get is so spot on. Like, I didn't know anything about the Shabbat and Zivi way back when, and I got a big download on it. And then I thought, gee, I wonder who this guy is. And I look on the internet, and sure enough, you know, everything I was getting was spot on. But I don't talk about it much because people just, they can't believe it. Just our history, everything is just so far off that you can't talk about it. So
that's
all I have to say.
Yeah, Brian, that's like listening to the Alan Watt and a lot of his audio recordings. They've removed the philosophical things of life like that, to where you're supposed to ponder on things. No one is supposed to sit down and take time to smell the roses, I guess you would call it like that. They've got you so busy worrying about everything else in life that you're not supposed to sit back and say, you know, this guy actually made sense 2,000 years ago, like the Greek culture and stuff, all your philosophy and stuff, and how it got moved into the biblical side like that. And people just can't realize how that works today, because our ancients didn't have television. And that's why when you look at this, all these ancient cultures and stuff, it's like, well, they didn't have TV. That's why they got stuff done, you know.
Let me just add, Keith, it's been wonderful having you here. We're about to wind down.
Oh, okay.
We have from War News 24/7, report of Britain's leader Zelensky, Ukraine will lose 5 more territories. Russia will attack with 1 million soldiers. The report of this British intelligence service, as well as remarks of senior British officers, who emphasize that if the war continues, Ukraine will lose at least 5 more regions, is a thorn in the side for Ukraine and for the Ukrainian counterattack, which, of course, has fallen flat. We may be there. There are all kinds of other reports out here, including Kosovo, potential for war breaking out here. Keith, you are just wonderful today. I can't thank you enough. Brian, thanks for the call. Mitchell, for your contributions. Everyone out there, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left.
Thanks
for being here.
you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world. U.S. military intelligence and their